and 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Pod on this Tuesday morning, the 13th of October 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes, updating you on the latest in the world of racing and sport. Let's start with the footy and the build-up to the prelim finals this weekend. It is normally two of the best matches of the year. Let's hear from Tom Jonas from The Power on the fitness of a couple of players here, Xavier Dersma and Todd Marshall.
Yeah, both of those boys will be right to play. I think it was probably important so they weren't going in sore, but I'd expect they'd be pretty close to 100% now.
Meanwhile, Grant Birchall's been here plenty of times before. He's been speaking to a few of his younger teammates about this being one of the hardest games to win.
They've played in six prelims and four of them have been decided by under a kick. So they've been pretty hard to win.
More from those two to come a little later in the Breakfast Bite. Meanwhile, yesterday, LeBron James made history becoming the first player to win the NBA playoffs at three different franchises.
And that's it. It's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
A season like no other. We will hear from LeBron a little later in the Breakfast Bite. Time to get straight to it. There's plenty to get through, so let's go.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning, Huff and Whitey, to take you through your Tuesday. Lots to get through. The early mail before 7, Rodney Ead after 7. Glenn McFarlane from the Herald Sun will join us with the latest trade news before 8 o'clock. Andrew McGrath, I'll be interested to hear from him. He's a bomber that's staying, signing on yesterday at Essendon. And then before the end of the show, Craig Lowndes, Supercars legend, ahead of his return to the track this week at Bathurst. That has come around quickly as well, so looking forward to hearing from him. Then after 8.30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate, as always, on a Tuesday, Top of the Hill, which is fantastic. Looking forward to hearing from Matty Hill, the voice of Victorian racing. And then after 10.30, Gareth Hall and RSN Central, including Wayne's World, after winning the Caulfield Guineas. It will be a great chat, as always, with Wayne Hawks, and to find out what's next for Ollie Kirk and Team Hawks, and then plenty else coming up on RSN Central, including the Tuesday hacks. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the build-up to this week's preliminary finals. We'll start with Port Adelaide. Here's Tom Jonas on how their week has been.
I think I've been incredibly lucky, the group I've been able to lead. They've made my job a dream, and also the support I've had around me. Like we talked about last year, it's not just myself, or it wasn't just Ollie and I, it's Hartsy there, so it's a bit of a threesome there doing the job, and also the support I've had from the coaching group, the likes of Vossi, Monty, Kenny, they've been enormous. But I feel like the real challenges come when things aren't potentially going your way, or, you know, if something happens in the game this week, it's maybe not going our way on field. But for the most part, this year's been, wouldn't say easy, but they've made my life pretty comfortable. It's a bit of an individual thing. I like to feel like a bit of an underdog, like we're trying to knock them off. You know, despite beating them earlier in the year and finishing top, they've got the runs on the board over the last 3 years. But at the same time, we're well aware that we've played a lot of good footy this year and we should completely back in our game plan and the way we go about things. And we definitely shouldn't, you know, play second fiddle or be intimidated by them. I think, if anything, we've got high expectations of ourselves. At Port Adelaide, we expect to win premiership every year, and we know that's not always a reality, but internally we have the same expectation. We want to go as far as we can, and we've put in a mountain of work this year. We wouldn't want to see it go to waste. So we'll be going out there with an expectation that we play style of footy that delivers us a result. It's obviously huge for us. It gives us a little bit extra. I don't know if it has an impact on the opposition teams, but it's just great to have a full house and as many of our supporters in there as possible. Obviously, they've missed out on some footy this year, so the more we can get along, the better.
There we go. Speaking yesterday, Port Adelaide captain Tom Jonas ahead of their clash with the Tigers on Friday night. Let's head to the other game with Brisbane taking on Geelong. We'll hear from Grant Birchall here on how Brisbane's build-up has been.
I think they've been fine so far. We've just gone about it like we have done the last all year, basically. So still got a bit to go to the game. So, the boys have trained really well and prepared really well so far. It's been good. Just asked me questions about what it's like and all this sort of stuff. But I think the guys handled themselves really well last week against Richmond. So they should get a lot of confidence out of that. And yeah, hopefully we can put in a really good, strong performance this week. I'm just trying to stay in the moment and focus on my preparation. But yeah, oh, look, I do dream about it, don't get me wrong. It'll be an unbelievable achievement. But yeah, I think it'll just be a bit of a reward for what I've been through the last few years. And but yeah, there's still a fair bit of water to go under the bridge, obviously. I went against the good sides. You've got to play four quarters of footy. I think with that third quarter, we really let ourselves down in all departments of the game. So we can't afford to fade in and out of games. We've got to be right on edge and play every minute of the game. So I think that was a big learning out of the last time we played them. Yeah, they're a tough, resilient group that want to get better. Yeah, they're the things I really noticed when I first walked into the door. And yeah, it's exciting. They're young and want to get better. It's awesome to be a part of it.
There we go. Grant Birchall speaking yesterday. Let's stay with Brisbane, but a bit of off-field news, of course, with last week Joe Danaher nominating them as his new club of choice in 2021. Here's what Harris Andrews, captain of the Lions, had to say about that.
We're really grateful for the fact that he's, you know, sees our club as somewhere as he wants to be. And, you know, having played on him in the past, he's a fantastic footballer. And from what I hear, he's a really great fella as well. So no doubt, if it gets done, he'll really contribute to our culture. And I'm excited to get him up here.
And a bit of other trade news yesterday. Now, nothing has been confirmed here, but Adam Treloar's wife will be playing professional netball based up in Queensland next year, which prompted the question from a number of people as to what he would be doing in terms of his living arrangements and whether he would stay in Melbourne and play for Collingwood or request a trade up north to one of the Queensland teams. Here's what Stuart Dew, coach of the Gold Coast Suns, had to say about the prospect of offering up a few picks for Adam Treloar to try and convince him to come up north with his wife.
I've actually never spoken to Adam in my life. He's obviously a fantastic player, but he's a contracted Collingwood player, and we certainly don't see that that's changing. So we understand where the rumours come from, and we can ask the question, but you know, as far as we know, and as far as he's concerned, he's all set to prepare for next season with Collingwood. And obviously we've got pick 5 to 6 in the draft, and that's something that we would be open to trading, obviously, if one of those types of players, and it, purely probably that middle band of 25-plus, but also careful not to tip too far the other way where, you know, we become not a retirement home but just a pension for a player as well. We feel like we're getting into a nice little slot and a bit of momentum that we want to make sure that who we bring in is certainly fits our need and can hold down their spot for the right reason.
Stuart Dew there speaking yesterday. We'll hear from Andrew McGrath a little later from the Bombers as he signed a new deal, and Tony Shaw with his thoughts on Jordan DeGoey, whose future remains up in the air, although it does seem as though Carlton is out of the race for the Collingwood star. Let's head to the NBA from yesterday. It was what ended up being the final match of the NBA Finals. Miami Heat going down to the Lakers, 106-93. So LA clinching their first title since the year 2010. The man who was the key factor, LeBron James, here speaking after his third franchise-winning playoff team.
I told Jeannie when I came here that I was going to put this franchise back in a position where it belongs. Her late great father did it for so many years, and she just, you know, took it on after that. And for me to be a part of such a historical franchise is it's an unbelievable feeling, not only for myself, but for my teammates, for the organization, for the coaches, for the trainers, everybody that's here. We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization wants their respect. Laker Nation wants their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
LeBron James there speaking yesterday. So the Lakers go on to win another NBA playoffs series. And just in terms of his own career now, LeBron, he's a four-time NBA champion in 2012, 2013, 2016, and 2020. And as I said before, he's done it now with three different franchises, Cleveland, Miami, and LA. So he is one of the greatest of all time. Just a bit of racing news from yesterday as well. Farnan late last night was ruled out of the Everest, and Tony McAvoy's dollar for dollar will be entered into the field for Saturday's $15 million race. In case you want to read any of the details, Matt Stewart had this story on rsn.net.au late last night, so check that out on the website. So Farnan out of the Everest and dollar for dollar comes in. Let's head to the NRL now, where speculation still continues to swirl around the future of Craig Bellamy at the Storm. Will this be his last final series? Will he exit his contract early, or will we see him next year at the Storm coach out perhaps his final year at the club? His assistant coach, Jason Riles, who said if he was going to, or if the vacancy became available, he'd put his hand up for the position.
Oh, I think there'll be more than just myself lining up for this job, but it's, you know, what Craig does is undecided at the moment, and, you know, who would have thought 12 months ago would have been in the middle of a global pandemic, so and lost five coaches in the NRL. So it's, you know, you don't know what's around the corner, and all I know is that, you know, we've got a game this weekend. We're going to be hoping to play next weekend if, you know, if we get through, and then after that, then I'm heading overseas to take up a role with English rugby. So that's all I know that's in concrete at the moment, and what the future holds, I'm not too sure.
It wouldn't be something, though, you'd knock back if the opportunity came your way to coach the Melbourne Storm.
I'd be open to it.
Jason Riles there speaking yesterday. Of course he'd be open to it. He'd be a fantastic man at the top of the Melbourne Storm, having spent plenty of years there now. Let's head to the highlight of the cricketing world yesterday, at least on an Australian domestic front, with Michael Nisa, as well as taking five wickets, notching up a ton with the bat.
Oh, he gets a short one. He swats it away on the onside. He's running after it. There's going to be a chance. It's going to get there. It will! 100 to Michael Nisa. He's first ever at first class level.
An incredible innings yesterday, 121 from 168 deliveries. Nisa goes big to join Labuschagne as century makers for Queensland. They made 529 in their first innings, Tasmania only managing 250. And in their second innings, Tasmania, 3 for 86. So they are in plenty of trouble. A wicket each to Bartlett, Swepson and Wildermuth. Mitch Swepson there with some nice figures. 1 for 15 from 11 overs, including 5 maidens. Jordan Silk's the not-out man at the crease on 37 not-out, along with Jake Doran, who's 16 not-out. But plenty of work for Tasmania to do, trailing by 193 runs with only 7 wickets left in the shed as they entered day 4, Queensland needing just 7 wickets for the victory. Meanwhile, in the other match, Western Australia taking on South Australia. Western Australia made 4 for 581 declared in their first inning. South Australia yesterday all out for 314. Jake Weatherill with the century. And then, unfortunately, for a few Australian test hopefuls, including captain Travis Head, disappointing day. 31 from 61 deliveries he made before he was dismissed by Ashton Agar, who took 5 wickets himself with the ball. So they are good signs. 5 for 103 from his 33 overs. Western Australia with the bat at stumps, 2 for 195, a century to captain Sean Marsh, who made 102 off 102. He's still not out at the crease. Whiteman, 18, and Bancroft at the top of the order made 71. So some good ticks in the boxes there for a couple of the Australian hopefuls. Chad Sayers with the ball took the 2 wickets for South Australia, 2 for 44. So a lot of work for South Australia to do there, trailing by 362 runs. Will be interesting to see if a declaration is made overnight. You would assume so, heading into the final day there between WA and SA. WA clearly in the box seat. Just to wrap up cricket for the time being, from the IPL overnight, Aaron Finch was in action against Pat Cummins. Finch for the Royal Challengers Bangalore made 47 from 37 at the top of the innings, and then Virat Kohli made 33 from 28 after coming in for Finch, and AB de Villiers was the star of the show with 73 from 33, blasting them to all corners of the park. 5 fours and 6 sixes, a strike rate of 221, so he is still continuing to dominate AB de Villiers. 2 for 194 for the Royal Challengers Bangalore and the Kolkata Knight Riders, who boast Pat Cummins as part of their lineup, were never able to get close. 9 for 112. The Royal Challengers Bangalore winning by 82 runs. With the ball, Pat Cummins took none for 38, which in terms of economy rates was the third best in his team as they were spanked to all corners of the park. Let's hear from Elise Perry now, who's hoping to be back from the WBBL. She hasn't played in a long time now, and she also wants to be 100% when she returns.
Well, it's still about 2 weeks away, but if we were talking about right here, right now, playing in that first game, then yeah, that's certainly the goal. And I've been training fully for close to a month. I think there's just like different things that are probably a little bit harder to control in matches. So we wanted to make sure that I was exposed to that enough in training before playing again. And I guess too, from my perspective, I've been really keen to make sure that when I do play again, it's not, I guess, at a lower level of capacity than what I'm used to.
10 to 6. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with all the NFL from yesterday. Supercars build up as Bathurst approaches rugby and the reaction to the Wallabies draw with New Zealand, and some golf yesterday with a good story on the PGA Tour.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
Oh, it's hung up. It stayed up. How about that? Martin Laird is your winner. In spectacular fashion, the Shriners Hospital for Children Open.
Fantastic win from Martin Laird, the Scotsman, who was able to redeem himself on the fourth playoff hole. He was in a playoff with Austin Cook and Matthew Wolff. Both of those players had chances to make putts. They both missed. Martin Laird was able to sink his, even though with about a foot to go, it looked like it was going to slide straight past the hole and catch the lip. But in it dropped, and he becomes a US PGA Tour winner again, which was a great story yesterday for the Scotsman. Let's head now to the supercars with Scott McLaughlin. Talking about co-driver here, Tim Slade, not having a lot of practice in the build-up to Bathurst this year.
It would have been difficult for any of those co-drivers competing for the championship to be, going to Bathurst, the hardest race of the year, without any miles. So it relaxes us a little bit, lets us focus on just having a crack at the big one, and certainly I can't see that being a bad thing for us.
Scott McLaughlin happy that the championship isn't on the line. It's already in the back pocket. Let's head to the NFL now. One game to come today at 11:15 as the New Orleans Saints take on the LA Chargers. Yesterday, plenty of action, including the Cowboys over the Giants. The Dolphins beat the 49ers. Browns over the Colts. The Raiders beat the Chiefs. Cardinals over the Jets. Panthers over the Falcons. Ravens beat the Bengals. Texans over the Jaguars. The Bears beat the Buccaneers, and this was the last play of the game between the Seahawks and the Vikings. Seattle holding on 27-26.
Wilson surveys, fires, and it is going to be caught by DK Metcalf for a touchdown.
So exciting stuff there. Some Monday night footy to come with the Saints taking on the Chargers. To the rugby world now, and Rod Caffey is there on Fox Sports. Speaking here about the Wallabies and what challenges they'll be facing when they face a fired-up New Zealand in the second Bledisloe Cup game.
I think it's unquestionable the All Blacks will be significantly better next week. The good thing is that I think our team can also, the Wallabies can also be better next week. I think the Wallabies, you know, had, from the last test to this one, there was only two players in the starting 15 from the team that was in the quarterfinals of the Rugby World Cup. That sort of transition and turnover is immense. We've never seen that before. This was a team, however, picked on form and justifiably picked. There wasn't a player in that side when I saw the team announced who I was surprised that got selected to start. These were players who were playing on form. The All Blacks, by comparison, were mixing and matching their team to try to get their best players on the park, playing guys out of position. And that's a recipe we've seen in Australia that leads to disaster. I think the All Blacks will be potentially smarter in their team selection than what Ian Foster was in the first match. They certainly, no doubt, will make some changes. Wallabies, I think, will take great solace from the way they played that game. They'll be quite rightly disappointed that they didn't have the ability to win it. They turn up next week at Eden Park And if they can maintain the same attitude, the same mentality, particularly defensively, they could run the All Blacks close again.
Right, Kafer on Fox Sports yesterday. Let's head back to the footy news from yesterday. Some good news for the Bombers. Andrew McGrath will join the guys on the Breakfast Club, but here's what he had to say to the Essendon website yesterday after penning a new deal.
It was a pretty easy one. I love being part of the Bombers, and I guess to repay the faith they put in me when they drafted me 4 years ago now, it was a pretty easy decision, and I'm really excited to take this footy club forward. Yeah, it's really important for me. I love the footy club, like I said before, and I love playing with my teammates, and I have real pride putting on the jumper every week. It's a club with rich history, and we've had a lot of success in the past, and I'm really determined to bring that back to the footy club and, I guess, repay all our fans and bring excitement back to their lives and, I guess, put Essendon in the right position on the ladder. I guess playing in the midfield now, my pressure, tackling, ability to win the ball in the contest and be really ruthless with the way I go about it. I think it's an area that we've been lacking a little bit in the last couple of years, and something that I'm really holding my hat on in the coming years, and hopefully I can really improve on that next season. I think it's been brewing for a while. I've sort of been trained up as a midfielder for the last couple of years, even though I haven't really played that position. But to be finally given full rein in there and to play bulk minutes in inside and in centre bounces, in stoppages, has been really great. I've put myself up against the best players and challenged myself in that way, and kept pushing teammates like Darcy and Dylan and Dyson, Zach, all these type of guys, and just making each other better. And I think there's a lot of people I could thank for my development, but I think this is just the start of my journey. Leadership is something that sort of comes a little bit naturally to me. I don't force it. I love my teammates and I love driving them to succeed. That's, I guess, why I'm here. I want to win and I want to bring this club success, and any way I can do that, I'm happy to do so. So the more people I can drag along with me and improve and get better, that's so important for me. Yeah, I'm good. Are we all good? Come pre-season, it was a little hiccup, but I'll be back bigger and better. Yeah, I think just stick with us. It's been a difficult year of ups and downs. For the footy club, and although externally we haven't achieved what we want to, internally we're making big steps forward, and I think the next few years with the young group that we've got will really take strides in that direction and bring the Bomber fans what they want to see and see victories and rise up the ladder. So I'm really excited to be a big part of that, and I can't wait.
So some good news there for the Bombers with yesterday. Nice to see Andrew McGrath putting pen to a new deal. Be interesting to hear from him on the Breakfast Club just before 8 o'clock this morning. All part of a very busy Tuesday. Stay tuned. We'll chat again tomorrow.